Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Ann Vandersteel, and welcome to another edition of the Zelenko Report, where truth and God are taking down the tyranny of our time. Today, we have the United States Incorporation. That's right, Epoch Times giving the American State National a wink and a nod and some good publicity, going mainstream with their coverage of my journey as an American State National. Carrie Lake down in Arizona, well, she is not going to back down. She is declaring victory down there, still shy some votes, but says she will prevail. And Joe Biden's American makeover, how through a continued stepped up border invasion. This is border invasion 2.0. And also rounding out the bottom half of the show, Brent Hamacek will join me as the co-author of Dr. Zelenko's new book. It is out, titled Dr. Zelenko, How to Decapitate the Serpent. All that and much more right here on the Zelenko Report, brought to you live right here on Brighteon.tv with replays at Getter, Rumble, and other channels at 9 o'clock this evening. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package. Emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels and also the big 400-watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts. And the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently. But it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol, or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
Okay, first we want to get to business and thank our sponsors right here at the Zelenko Report. Dr. Zelenko, who is going to be a feature on this show later on this afternoon with Brent Hamacek, does provide us 10% of the money that is made over at Z-Stack Life. So this is what powers our foundation, which is what powers this show for you every day, ZStackLife.com. Power your immune system, not only yours, but your children's, with various products they have over at ZStackLife.com. Use your promo code FOUNDATION. Also, Mike Lindell generously supports this show by a revenue share as well. Save up to 66% off at all my pillow products and my store products. Go to MyPillow or MyStore.com. Use the same promo code, Foundation. And as well, and very important right now as we move into this global financial reset, and it is coming, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to depend on which team prevails. But either way, metals is your safest bet right now. The stock market is not. Head on over to Kirk Elliott, PhD.com/Ann. That's what I've done. That's what my family's done. That's what just about everybody I know has preserved their wealth in metals right now as we weather this storm. Speaking of storms, the storm has been brought to you by the Epoch Times. That's right. My journey as an American State National has been now broadcast mainstream at Epoch Times. Over the weekend, they put out this article written by William Wing, who authored an incredible, incredible report on the journey of being a state national. Folks, what you can learn from this article is that we have ostensibly returned to feudalism. That's right. What is otherwise known as voluntary servitude. Even if we got engaged with the federal government into voluntary servitude, unwittingly, unknowingly, your birth certificate is that document that turns you into a corporate fiction. And yes, they have monetized it. It is actually a bond. It's printed on bond paper. You have a bond number, and you are enrolled as corporate entities at birth. And you unknowingly and unwittingly continue to contract with that federal government into what's known as their commercial law system, because they use that fancy legalese, you know, that stuff that makes you yawn and want to fall asleep and turn the next page, hopefully to find the answer you're looking for as you fumble through their legal mumbo jumble. Well, all that has confounded many of us, but some of us have woke up and we are now awake and we realize that this corporate feudalism has to go. We do no longer want to be any part of their ever-growing mountain of rights and privileges, because God gives us your rights. The corporation doth taketh away, as we have now seen through the COVID-19 just debacle that we're still living through. We don't have constitutional rights anymore, folks. If you are a citizen, you only have civil rights. Well, this all played out this weekend as I left Houston, Texas on Wednesday, having been in Arizona earlier last week. I made my way to Denver, Colorado, where on Friday I went into the 10th Circuit Court in beautiful downtown Denver on 18th Street. The 10th Circuit Court had an interesting case being presented, shown by their docket on November 22nd in their term of the court. You can see here the second case presented at the 10th Circuit Appellate Court was that of Robert V. Austin, as Todd Callender and Dave Wilson, the two attorneys who presented this case. Well, notwithstanding, of course, mainstream media fearing what would be put onto record, Forbes magazine put this out because they knew attorney Todd Callender was bringing the goods. Todd talking about homoborogenesis. Here are unfounded claims COVID-19 vaccinated are no longer human. This was the crux of the argument that Todd and Dave Wilson had to get into the court system. Also, USA Today taking the opportunity to try and slam this argument being waged on the 10th Circuit. That's right, saying fact check, COVID-19 vaccine recipients are still human. Vaccine doesn't affect DNA. Well, isn't that interesting that the vaccine's mRNA, which stands for modifying your RNA, which RNA modifies your DNA, isn't that interesting that they would try to cover this up in the mainstream media? Well, here is Todd Callender and Dave Wilson, the two attorneys that represented two servicemen against Robert F. Austin, Commissioner Califf from the FDA, as well as Health and Human Services Director Secretary Xavier Becerra. These two are standing there in the 10th Circuit Court, along with their court support team that came and showed up en masse. Over 30 folks came to the courtroom that day. Not all of them are pictured here, but this is who came to hear this case being presented to the 10th Circuit Appellate Court. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers, otherwise known as Doc, a former Green Beret, 39 years of service, the only one of six flight surgeon Green Berets in the world, gave us his rundown of what we could expect that morning in court before we entered the 10th Circuit, courtroom number 2.
Tell us where we are and all that kind of stuff and why we're here.
All right.
And who are.
Yeah, Pete Chambers, former flight surgeon and Green Beret. We are here at the 10th Circuit Court. Court number 2, and Todd Callender and Dave Wilson are going to be presenting our 15 minutes of time that we've got, with a total of 30 minutes for the other side to take the other 15 to present Roberts v. Austin. Now, understand that this is an argument that is based on the 13th and 14th Amendment. And in 1865, nearly 700,000 Americans died after the Civil War. For those two amendments, they were called the Reconstruction Amendments. There were actually three, 13th and 14th, talking about freedom. That's what this is about. Deo presso liber is the motto of the Green Berets, and that's what I'm about.
Well, I say, Colonel Chambers, I agree 100%. Todd actually did very well in court. He started his presentation first, and then his co-counsel, Dave Wilson, knocked it out of the park. And not without standing, there was extreme hostile questioning coming from the three panel of judges sitting up atop the courtroom. The panel actually believed incorrectly, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you would think with all the information that's been put out there that the FDA approval equals available. Actually, no, it doesn't. The FDA never made the original version of Comirnaty, which has a purple cap on top of the bottle. Because as attorney Dave Wilson did state correctly, the FDA terminated the marketing on the same day it was approved. Attached are screenshots of the FDA packaging of Comirnaty when it did come out. The DOD mandated it. It only was issued one day later. What Dave did, what he actually did, was destroy the false narrative of the FDA approved equals FDA available. The current gray cap version of the Comirnaty label is under dispute in the Coker v. Austin case, even though Judge Windsor did actually state incorrectly in the order that the parties agreed that Comirnaty was available. Nope, they did not actually agree. One point of clarification, the German version of Comirnaty is not licensed. It is being marketed as CMA, Conditional Marketing Authorization, in Europe. But that is simply the equivalent of our emergency use authorization right here in the States. In Europe, they actually call the brand Comirnaty on a conditional approval, but we can't even call that here. Interestingly enough, Comirnaty labeled brand did actually show up in an Alaskan military base. That is a big concern, because were they to use that, it wasn't approved for use here. In summary, I do think that the plaintiffs did very well in arguing their case. They were able to, Todd Callender was actually able to get on record the question about whether or not the patent holder, Pfizer, Moderna, and other companies that have manufactured the bioweapon, if that bioweapon is injected into individuals' arms, if they get that so-called vaccine in, and it is a DNA-modifying vaccine, an mRNA experimental biologic, if that goes into your arm and your DNA is changed, are you still effectively human, and are you chattel to the patent holder, the people that own the actual vaccine? That was the question that Forbes and USA Today and New York Slimes did not want to get on the record, but they did get this on the record. So I want to send a lot of thanks. God bless everybody who showed up in that freezing day. It snowed, the weather was terrible, but 30-some folks did show up to witness history being made with the question for humanity: are you still human? Thank everybody who came out. It was lovely to see everybody. And I also want to just round this out with Dave Wilson, who did state this in an email. And Dave, I'm going to quote you right now. He'd like to thank Todd and all, and he's happy with how they did, given the time constraints of just 15 minutes. He says, "I was pissed that the DOJ attorney lied about licensing. Possibly we refile, correcting the issues they point out, since the facts are now on our side. Frankly, it should be a death by a thousand cuts." Attorney Todd Callender and Dave Wilson are going to set aside time to actually build a template for the military to use to file pro se litigation on their own behalf. It's going to be a series of death by a thousand cuts. All righty, here, next up, we have a summary of the after action report, a little video I shot when we all gathered in a coffee shop subsequent to the 10th Circuit hearing. Little after court action. Folks that came in from all branches of military, National Guard, to show up and pack the courtroom. Doing a little bit of after action reporting and catch up. And there's Joe, hard at work on the job. That's right, that's my coat. Notice where Joe was sitting, everybody. That's Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers' dog. Green Beret flight surgeon, 39 years in the service, only to become vaccine injured. Standing up for his guys down on the border, doing his duty, removed because of his stance on the vaccine. Here today with Todd Callender, who did an incredible job in court representing two different members of the military who did not want to take the jab, but specifically the premise of the argument was violations of the 13th and 14th Amendment, your body sovereignty. When the patent holder of a vaccine puts a needle in your arm and that needle results in your RNA changing your DNA, are you still you? And are you still a child of God, or are you property, chattel, if you will, of the patent holder of the vaccine? This is the argument Todd was making today in court here in the Denver 10th Circuit. And these are just some of the few people that actually stayed behind to get together, share fellowship, and continue the conversation about where we are today. And that was Joe, Colonel Joe. He is a Special Forces dog. He is the senior to Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. What a great, great dog. Okay, flying over Amarillo, we left Denver on Saturday morning. Myself, Todd Callender, and Pete Chambers, and Todd's twin turboprop, Navajo Chieftain. What an exciting ride that was to make it back from about 6 degrees in Denver to sunny Florida. Took 2 days, but here we are on board the Chieftain making our way out of Denver. And so cold on that plane, no heat, leaving Denver at 6 degrees, flying at 12,000 feet. You can imagine how chilly it was. Well, Colonel Joe, Lieutenant Pete Chambers' canine, and I were caught snuggling in the back of the plane, just trying to stay warm. The dog is just fantastic. Believe me when I say he is trained to kill. He loves his bite training sessions, but he couldn't be sweeter. I'm telling you, I'm so grateful to have that lovely dog sitting at my feet, and I look forward to seeing him again. I think I'll be in Texas towards the end of next week or early next week. I'll get a chance to catch up with Joe, and perhaps we can continue our snuggling sessions. As we made our way out of Amarillo, Texas, we did have to stop every so often to pick up gas fuel for the airplane. And I have to say the most interesting stop was the one that ended up being day two that stranded us in Mississippi. Here we are landing in Greenwood, Mississippi, otherwise known as Jethroville, to Todd Callender and myself after we dropped off Pete Chambers in Amarillo. So for those of you that think this job is glamorous, take another look at that. It's not exactly glamorous, but it is highly exciting. It certainly beats the TSA getting to second base routine now that I'm thankfully off that list. Again, thanks to all of you for helping make a lot of noise that day a few weeks ago when we called them out for the for the dirtbags that they are, the political targeting harassment force that they are. But I have to say, Todd Callender, what an incredible, incredible man he is. He really is standing up all the work he's done the last several years in fighting COVID and fighting the jab and trying to defend life, protect our men and women in our service, in our military service. He's done all that work pro bono. Absolutely every last bit of it pro bono. I could have flown home commercially, but I opted to fly with Todd. And you know what? I'll opt to fly with him anytime to hopscotch across this beautiful country and get to see people. What ended up happening in Mississippi was the fuel, while there was fuel, there was nobody there to pump it. Turns out we had to contact the owner of that FBO to have them come on in. Well, the owner's son was out hunting, and he was in a deer blind about an hour away. I kid you not. We sat there and waited. He showed up about an hour and a half later, was able to pump aviation fuel into the plane. But because the runway lights were broken, we were stranded. We could not take off. So we got a hotel, went out and had a little Mexican food, laughed about the entire situation, and got up the next morning and flew back to Florida. Landing in Florida was a little bit tricky yesterday because there was some pretty severe weather down here in South Florida. But we made it home safely. I will put more of this together in a compilation later in the week for Friday's show because we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving and we will not have fresh content for you coming up the last couple of days of the week. Anyhow, I want to move into the elections because it's still very important, it's still going on. And Carrie Lake says she's going to become the next governor after an attorney general's letter. That's right. She has now proclaimed that on November 19th, she will actually become governor after the state attorney general's office demanded explanations about the alleged election day problems in the state's largest county, Mara Corruption County, as it is now known, thanks to several out there reporting on election integrity. Michelle Swinnick, we love you for that, for coining that phrase. I have to say this much, that Carrie Lake was quoted as saying this, the way they run elections in Maricopa County is worse than a banana republic around the world. She is quoted in the Daily Mail. She was responding to Attorney General Mark Brnovich's office opening an inquiry as if this shouldn't have happened, 2 years ago. Polling on polling issues in Maricopa County, which include Phoenix and other cities, following ballot tabulation issues that were confirmed by the Maricopa County officials on November 8th. Assistant Attorney General Jennifer Wright demanded that the evidence be turned over on or before Maricopa County submits its official canvass to the Secretary of State, which is also the same lady who was running for governor. That's right, Katie Hobbs, that corrupt woman. Can you believe she hasn't even excused herself or recused herself after this has just blown up in all of their faces? Don't know what the solution is going to be, according to Carrie Lake, but she does know that she's going to restore election integrity. She's going to continue her fight into the governor's office. Now, in terms of Senate House results overall, here is where we are. A quick snapshot. In the Senate, we have 49 Republicans winning seats, 50 Democrats winning seats. And then the House, 211 Democrats versus 219. We have control of the House. Of course, the Senate race with Herschel Walker still outstanding, still waiting for that to come through on December 6th. Take a look at the Senate map right here. You get a snapshot of the races that were won around the country, the red versus blue, with Georgia still up for grabs right now. And that runoff will be on December 6th with Warnock and Walker. Please get out and vote and support Herschel Walker. Please, folks, this Warnock character cannot be tolerated. We have to at least get a tie in the Senate. I would argue we won more than what they're giving us. As we now know, this is a selection battle, not truly an election process. Take a look at the House Republican seats that were won across the state. I see red. I don't see dead. I see red. Look at that. This tells you the real story about our country. And I would argue also that there was even more seats that were won again, thanks to the selection process. This is all our masters were going to give us. And if you look at the governor maps right here, you will see the same thing. Okay, Joe Biden's illegal immigration, border crisis phase two. As I'm running out of time in the first segment, probably going to have to move it on, but I just want to give you a quick take. Look at what's happening right now in the border and what their next phase two operation is. It's all about moving them in quickly and giving them jobs and access to residency.
President Joe Biden's historic mass migration border crisis is already changing for the final 2 years of his term. From news drone scenes familiar to all Americans of hundreds of thousands pouring in illegally every month, to this. They are the same U.S.-bound economic migrants from Mexico, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Honduras, as the millions who set off from distant homes planning to illegally cross the southern border, finally about to collect their prize. But everything is different for them and for potentially millions more hearing about this and coming to do it too. After this short bus drive from a Mexican government shelter across from Calexico, California, Mexico's Immigration Service will hand them over to their American counterparts at an official port of entry, with temporary legal status papers already in their folders. Once CBP processes them in, they're all released to begin permanent lives working in American cities of their choice.
The older we get, the less IGF is produced by our body naturally. IGF is a substance that's naturally found in your body. Just like these guys that go to the gym, work out, play professional sports, use creatine, which is naturally found in the body. They supplement protein, which is naturally found in the body. Other multivitamins that you take every day, just like that, you supplement the IGF in your body. You can do that at keystolife.shop. This is the stuff that makes men men again. All right, you spray it in your mouth a couple times a day, boom. Lean muscle gain, healthy weight loss, more restful sleep, positive energy gain, crystal clear thinking, all of these things. These are benefits from the proper levels of IGF in your system, which naturally you lose over time. Go do the research on your own. Keys2life.shop. Again, keystolife.shop. Great deals over there, by the way, when you put the product on auto ship, and you should. It's not a lifetime contract. You can cancel it any time, but you should try this stuff for about 3 months to really see the positive gain. I'm speaking from personal experience. Go to keys2life.shop. Make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to keys2life.shop.
And make sure to watch Bright Dion TV with the great Mike Adams. Nowhere do you get better news, more truth, and our path to justice. Bright Dion's the best. Go check it out.
Hi, I'm Ann Vandersteel with the Zelenko Report, where you can find truth in God taking down the tyranny of our time. Join me here on brightdion.tv every day, weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern. Look forward to delivering the truth to you.
Satellite phones have been wiped out globally because of the supply chain collapse and war in Europe. But a truly amazing new option has emerged, the Bivy Stick, which allows you to send and receive text messages using almost any mobile device without relying on cell towers at all. In a world where war, riots, or a power grid failure can happen literally at any time, the Bivy Stick and its two-way satellite messaging gives you the power to reach loved ones, to send emergency messages or request a rescue. And to use this device, you do not have to register your name and you don't need to turn on location services or reveal your geographic location. The battery life is several days in duration and you can easily recharge it using a small portable power bank. There are only about 20,000 Bivy Sticks that will be available in America this year. Get yours now while they're still available at SAT123.com. That's SAT123.com. The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
And welcome back to the second half of the Zelenko Report, where we left off. We were talking about Joe Biden's America and phase two of the border illegal migration. That's right. Joe Biden is the kingpin of human trafficking here in the United States. There is no doubt about it. His complicitness in terms of facilitating human trafficking and basically giving away American jobs to people who are do not have natural birthright in this country and have not come into the proper channels is absolutely wide out there in the open. In fact, Secretary Mayorkas is complicit as well. And I want to give you another sneak peek here into what their border crisis phase two looks like. This is about pre-approving migrants for work before they come across the border. Take a look at this map right here. giving you an extent of the a map of the extent of how big this border crisis is and just how pervasive the migration coming across into the United States illegally, courtesy of Joe Biden, really is.
But an expansion has been quietly underway all along the border. Now it's happening in Tijuana to San Diego, Aguas Prietas to Douglas, Arizona, Juarez to El Paso, Nuevo Laredo to Laredo, and other shared port towns all the way to Matamoros in Brownsville, Texas. Few Americans know about this new legal pathway, and fewer have seen what it looks like in action. But the border city of Mexicali granted the center.
So as you can see, it is looking pretty dire right now in terms of how big and pervasive and vast the expansion of the border is, that Joe Biden is making this very available and ushering people in a highly coordinated fashion to not only get people in and across the border and through processing, but also approving migrants for work before they actually come over. So whatever happened to getting your foot in and then surrendering? No, this is all highly coordinated and facilitated before you even step foot into the United States of America. Shocking, disappointing, and frankly, the public outrage should be at an all-time fevered pitch high, demanding that this kind of policy cease and desist immediately. Immediately. And why? Because none of these people are being checked for COVID if they're so concerned about COVID and they're so concerned about making sure we're vaccinated. Why aren't they doing any of this? No, they're ushering these people in to basically dilute the electorate in our country. It's happening in real time, folks. 5 million illegals have come across in the last 2 years, thanks and courtesy to the Biden regime. Now, going back down into the health and welfare of our country, the CDC has now confirmed COVID deaths among children and adults are up to the age of 44 years old have increased by a shocking 160% in 2021 compared to those numbers in 2020. And this is all despite the actual rollout of the COVID-19 injection in December of 2020. The CDC graph here shows the a number of COVID deaths among those 5 to 54 years old in the U.S. by age group in 2020. And as you can see from above, the eldest group, 35 to 44 year olds, suffered the most deaths with 6,756 COVID-19 deaths. And according to the CDC, this equated to 16 in every 100,000 people, while 68 deaths among 5 to 14-year-olds equated to 2/10 of every 100,000. So as you can see, the lethality of the virus among young adults and children in 2020 was virtually non-existent. Then in 2020, the FDA granted the emergency use authorization of COVID-19 injections, and several months later, they extended that emergency use authorization to 12 to 15-year-olds, then again to 5 to 11-year-olds. So you would have thought that with their wealth of understanding of just how effective this and safe and effective this jab was going to be, that deaths would have been pretty low among children and young adults in 2020, and that they would even be even lower in 2021 thanks to their so-called vaccine. But according to the CDC, guess what? An admission that the opposite actually happened. Look at the CDC's COVID death graph for deaths among the 5 to 44-year-olds in the age group of 20 to 20, in that same age group going into 2021. Sky high. COVID-19 deaths among children and young adults more than doubled in 2021. In fact, they frankly almost tripled. Those deaths increased between 5 and 14-year-olds by 157%. And the deaths between 15 and 24-year-olds and 25 to 34-year-olds increased by 167%. And here's where it's even worse. Deaths among the 35 to 40-year-olds increased again by another 156%. So you can see, ladies and gentlemen, everything they promised was exactly the opposite consequence of what they had intended or hoped or said they were supposed to happen when you received the COVID vaccine. Okay, we've got a special guest and a member of our board of directors here at the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, also the top editor over at Human Events and co-author now of Dr. Zelenko's book called Dr. Zelenko, How to Decapitate the Serpent. Brent Hamacek, welcome to the Zelenko Report. It's great to have you back on.
It's great to be back, Anne. I always love it when you share a microphone with me. It's a privilege and it's
well,
fun.
I'd like to just give you the microphone and have you run with this for a while, but you know, I know you're too busy for all that, so we're going to just share it today, and I know occasionally you're happy to step in and cover for me, which is greatly appreciated, but this is a momentous occasion because you and Dr. Zelenko have been on a journey, and sadly, he's not here with us anymore, but a piece of him lives on through you in this book that has just come out and is available on Amazon right now. Tell us about working with Dr. Zelenko before we get into the meat of the book, because it's pretty cool. You had to spend so much time with him.
I did get to spend a lot of time with him. And I think I'd be remiss to start without starting by saying a special thank you to my very dear friend and also the co-host on a show we do together over on Rumble, Tamara Lee. If it weren't for Tamara, I wouldn't know you and I wouldn't know Zeb, so I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be, but I wouldn't be here. And it was actually Tamara Lee who found Zeb way back when, in December of 2020, when he had been banned by Twitter. And she tracks everybody down, and she got him to be a guest on our show. And we did that somewhere around the first week of January of 2021. And then I did a story on him being banned from Twitter on Human Events, where I interviewed him for that. And the rest became a little bit of history that's still in the making. So we developed a friendship. We used to speak periodically during the end of the lockdowns and through 2021. Where we wouldn't really talk much about the China flu. We'd really talk about political theory and theology. And Zeb was a very, very deep thinker and brilliant man. You know, people came to know him because of his stand against the virus and first treating it and then speaking out against lockdowns and then speaking out against the vaccine. But he was an absolutely brilliant man in his own right outside of all of that, and a scholar. And so he used to test the limits of my intellectual capabilities on every phone call. And somewhere around August of 2021, we decided it was a good idea to write a book and that his story ought to be told. And so we started on that process. Took us a long while to map out what the book was going to be, what he wanted it to be, what he wanted to tell. And that process, by the way, continued right up and through May of this year. Well, when we made some final adjustments to what it was going to be. But anyway, the book itself, which is now out on Amazon, you can go to a site called zelenkobook.com. If you click on that link, it'll redirect you to the site to order the book. And I want everybody to know who's watching this that every dime that is raised through the sale of the book on Amazon will be going to the Zelenko Freedom Foundation. So that'll be the proceeds from the book itself. It'll also be my portion of the proceeds, which I'm donating 100% to the foundation.
Wow.
So to support its causes in its work. So ask
hold
me.
On I got to stop right there. I didn't realize you were donating your copyright portion, Brent. That is unbelievable. That is so incredibly generous because you spent so much time with Dr. Zelenko getting this book done. In fact, we actually finished it all together, the final chapter, because unfortunately he passed away. So to hear you say that is just incredibly generous and gracious. I am speechless. I think I might have missed that if you said that earlier in the day. I didn't register, but it just registered now. Holy cow.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody needs to know that if they buy the book and they should buy the book. I mean, you should buy multiple copies. I mean, here's what we'd like you to do. Buy a copy for yourself. First of all, right now it's on Kindle and it's on softcover, but it'll be available on hardcover, I believe, by tomorrow. We're doing this show on Monday. It should
be
available.
Are you autographing them?
If somebody's crazy enough to send me one, nobody wants my autograph, Ann. They would have wanted Zeb's if he'd been around to give it. But if somebody stops me in a Starbucks or something, I'm happy to sign a book. But in any event, the book will be available in four formats, Kindle, paperback, hardcover, and then also an audiobook that'll be out very soon that's going to have some bonus material. It'll have the interviews you did with Zeb right near the end of his life. It'll also have a podcast that he did with Charlie Kirk, which Zeb was very, very excited about. Charlie was very excited about when he did it. And so, in fact, Charlie Kirk's agreed to be the keynote speaker at the Zelenko Foundation gala event on March 11th down at the Trump Doral. But anyway, the point is that I want to make is that when you buy a copy, all of that money after the cost of, you know, printing the book will go to the foundation. And we'd like you to buy multiple copies. And it's not just because we're trying to raise money for the foundation. Here's what we'd like you to do. Buy one for yourself, buy a couple for your friends to spread the word, And then we want everybody to buy one for their local library, you know, and make that donation, because libraries aren't going to get these books otherwise. And so we think it'd be a great idea if, you know, in every town across the country, one person at least in every town ought to buy the book and then bring it to the local library or campus library if there's a school in town and donate the book so it's available for the world to read.
I think that's a tremendous idea, Brent. Dr. Zelenko, one of the last things he said to me when I was sitting with him face to face was he wants the truth out there like a mantra. And he was a very strong truth teller. People leaned in to listen to his soft-spoken delivery of the truth when he was standing in front of audiences, whether it was 20 people or 10,000 people. Zev commanded the microphone, and people leaned in to listen. And what he always imparted on the world was, you know, besides unity and coming together, was the fact that we were facing a true demonic evil out there, and it needed to be recognized and it needed to be called out. And he was very apt in describing, you know, decapitating the head of the serpent, because that is in fact what we're facing right now, is something that is representative of true evil permeating across the planet, and it's a battle that continues. So I'm thrilled that you're here to talk to us about this. I want to take a quick detour and then come back to the book and close this. But, you know, Dr. Zelenko was a Ukrainian-born American. He was born in Ukraine and immigrated here when he was just 4 years old. But he had strong feelings. And what we're now learning is that our U.S. tax dollars have been hard at work in Ukraine. In fact, I'm going to have a follow-on segment about just specifically that with J.D. Rucker, who broke a story about biolab funding and so forth in Ukraine. That is all part of the FTX cryptocurrency scandal that SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, has been embroiled in with respect to Ukraine. What are your thoughts, or what do you think Dr. Zelenko would say, understanding that the United States tax money given by Joe Biden has been recycled through Ukraine, through FTX, and been used for things such as vaccine research and biotech engineering and other what we would call globalist depopulation agendas? What do you think Dr. Z would have said about all this?
Well, one of the things that's always a little bit dangerous to do is to speculate on what those who would have left, or those who have left us, what they would have said, right? Because I don't know exactly what he would have said, but I can tell you this about what he did say. And that was his strong conviction that the force of evil, that Satan was at work inside of mankind, and sometimes that people were guided by that influence knowingly and deliberately, and sometimes they were guided by it because they weren't deliberate enough in their actions to close themselves off to it. So he wouldn't be surprised at human beings doing really, really bad things. And he wouldn't be terribly discerning about whether their motivations were evil or just unconscious, because he felt as though we all had the requirement placed upon us by God to find our faith and to try to seek out what the right thing is to do. So I suspect he wouldn't be surprised. And I suspect that he would chalk it up to human nature, something that he and I talked about a great deal over time. We used to debate the theories of Thomas Hobbes, my famous philosopher, who thought people were really pretty bad folks by their nature. Zeb didn't think that way. He thought there was a little bit more good in us than I did, but he also felt like we were all very open to the influence of evil forces. But I got to tell you, one of the things I'm going to avoid doing, and this is sort of like my first go at it, I know I'm going to get asked as the book comes out questions about what would Zev say about this or that. And I think that I need to know my place. And so I had a chance to get to know him well, and I had a chance to understand his story and his philosophy on life. I got to understand his faith and his theology. But I certainly am going to be very, very careful about pretending as though, you know, I know what Zev would say about anything in particular. He was his own man. He could surprise you on occasion with an opinion you didn't really expect. We'll have to maybe wait for him to weigh in from the heavens on this.
Well, you know, one of the areas that I would love to get Zev's perspective on is, you know, what we're going to do in terms of, you know, future health crises when we're required blood transfusions, because the vaccine, one of the arguments that Todd Callender was making in court on the 10th Circuit this past Friday in Denver was that the vaccinated are no longer human. In other words, their DNA has been modified by a gene editing sequencing of mRNA technology using a CRISPR gene editing tool in the vaccine to change your DNA so that you would be making more spike proteins, is what they said was going to make you immune to the COVID. Well, what we learned was that this, in fact, gave you COVID. And we saw so many more people that have had COVID multiple times post the vaccine. So that being said, we have a lot of people running around with vaccinated blood. And unvaccinated blood banks is a thing potentially to be a business opportunity going into the future. Right. Would this be something that, you know, as somebody who knew Dr. Zelenko covering that, do you think that, I'm not asking you whether you knew it or just, do you think he would have gotten behind something like this to help protect the human species going forward from tainted blood like this?
You couldn't have been, it wouldn't be possible to be more against the vaccine than Zev was. I mean, you could be just as against it, but you know, he reached the boundary of being against it, and especially for children. And when people read the book, and I truly hope they'll read the book, because the last three chapters, there's an epilogue and a couple of appendices, but the last part of the book is what we call making the case. And this is something that came to us more than midway through the process. We decided to do this because Zev was big on three things, right, as it related to the pandemic. One was that this was a man-made, man-engineered virus. Another one was that it was treatable from day one. And then another was that the vaccine was a greater threat than the disease. So we call the last section of the book Making the Case. And we take three chapters and we make those three cases. And he makes the case against the vaccine very strongly and based on real research and real evidence, including information that was disclosed to the FDA by the pharmaceutical companies before the vaccine was launched. I mean, we have, you know, slides from the report given to the FDA showing what the likely side effects were. And lo and behold, every single one of them that was predicted, we got. And he was especially emphatic about not giving this to children. And so anything at all that was designed to, you know, keep a blood supply safe or keep vaccinations to a minimum, he certainly would have followed along with those things. And, you know, he called the vaccine a kill shot. And so, I mean, you can sort of drop the mic on that, right? There's not a whole lot to add. If the vaccine is a kill shot, I think you know where he stands, and that doesn't involve me having to do much speculation.
That's exactly right. You know, right. Zev was a hero to millions of people. They really looked at his bravery, his unabashed ability to just speak truth to power, stand in the breach against big medical industrial complexes, the big pharmaceutical industry. He was, you know, he got behind people that he believed that were going to serve not only America, but serve humanity. He had no fear in standing up for what he believed to be right. But he also had some heroes and some mentors. Who strikes you as somebody that jumps off the pages from the book of Dr. Zelenko, How to Decapitate the Serpent, that would strike you as one of Zev's heroes?
Oh, that's easy. It's Dr. David Martin. He had tremendous respect for him. He considered him to be a mentor. Considered him to be one of the people that really opened his eyes to the vaccine. We talk about his research in the book extensively. He was the person in this secular world of medicine that really stood out to Zev and got very, very strong mention and wrote the foreword for the book. So people will get to read that if they purchase it. And don't forget to buy one for your friends and your library. And just going to keep doing the plug. And again, all the money goes to the Zelenko Freedom Foundation. So when the plug is done, understand that you're supporting Zev's legacy, not anybody else's pocketbook.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here with something you may or may not expect coming. But as you know, the Zelenko Freedom Foundation sponsors events like Z-Talk Speaker Series. We have one coming up on December 8th, right here in outside the Tampa area in Riverview, Florida, where we've got some incredible physicians like Dr. Christiane Northrup, who will be stopping by, Dr. Judy Mikowitz, Dr. Carrie Madej, and others that will be on stage. And we're going to have an intimate conversation with them about what makes them tick. Why did they get into this fight? And what it's been like being a woman standing there in this fight. But I want to know, would you be open to a Z-Talk speaker series with respect to Brent Hamacek, but also your personal relationship with Dr. Zelenko and what you found inspirational in co-authoring this book with him? Because you really are his voice, carrying on now that Dr. Zelenko is no longer with us.
Well, yeah, I would do, I'm going to do anything that I'm asked to do. You know, it's interesting for me because it's a really humbling experience. I'm, as I frequently refer to myself, I mean, look, I'm a bar band and I'm not a big celebrity and I get to do a lot of different things and I'm really blessed and fortunate, but I'm not an arena band and Zev was an arena band and I'm a bar band. And I'm fully aware of the fact that when it comes to the book, people would rather have him around to be able to sign it and talk about it and do all those things, but he isn't. So my job is to step up and do whatever it is I'm asked to do. It's really pretty simple, right? So it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's humbling. It's also a little bit of obligation or a lot of obligation. So just kind of shrug my shoulders. And if somebody asks me to speak somewhere, I'll speak. And if they say, will you sign my book? I'll say, sure, I'll sign your book. Not necessarily what they would have preferred, but if I'm what's left, I'm happy to do it.
All right. Brent Hamacek, thank you for stopping by here on the Zelenko Report. Folks, please pick up a copy of Dr. Zelenko, How to Decapitate the Serpent. You can go to zelenkobook.com where there's a link to pick up your copy. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow with J.D. Rucker from the Knopf Report talking about this FTX debacle as it's proving out to be a lot more under the hood than what we thought. And Michelle Swinnick is going to stop by and give us an election update. She's in the heartbeat of Arizona. Have a great afternoon.